get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Takes my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangements, makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Fly. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Takes my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Kaloran strum my pain with her fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I'd give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot.
Hello, hello, and good evening to each and every one of you. I want to welcome you to yet another segment of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, C. Maria Wall. And tonight, of course, as always, I like to start off with Tory Lee's good music, good vibes, good music, good feelings. It's about the goodness. And tonight, we have a very special guest here. Nisha Jackson will be joining me, good lady, with a great story. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this journey that we're going to take for the next hour or so. So let me tell you a little bit about Nisha. She was raised in numerous foster homes and went out on her own at age 17. During those turbulent years, she was the victim of physical and emotional abuse. She's just like you and me. Let me say that again. She's just like you and me. She worked two jobs while completing her senior year in high school. By age 22, she had amassed $20,000+ of debt. She was feeling suffocated and was unable to sleep at night or even during the day. She wanted a better life and decided to go to college, but she couldn't bear taking on any more debt. Nisha is known for breaking away from the crowd and taking on challenges. So she decided it was time for her to take control of her financial future. She began to read everything about personal finances. She set both short and long-term goals. She created a financial plan, and by doing so, she not only eliminated the $20,000+ in debt, but she also saved $22,000 for a down payment on her new home. This was accomplished on an entry-level salary and in less than 2 years. Nisha Jackson is the CEO of Financially Brilliant Women's Institute, LLC. She is a powerful business and money strategist. In addition, she's also a sought-after inspirational speaker and author. She specializes in helping women break through the personal barriers, keeping them from achieving success in their personal and business finances. She is also a contributing author to the international best-selling book, Pebbles in the Pawn, Wave 3, Transforming the World One Person at a Time. If you are in the chat room, you can also check out her complimentary money report at financiallybrilliantwomen.com/money-secrets-gift. I will put that in the chat room. And as always, welcome to all of our listeners this evening. Thank you so much for being here. With that said, we are going to welcome Nisha to our show. Nisha, welcome to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Thank you so much for accepting my offer to be a guest this evening.
Thank you, Maria, and I too am honored that you would extend the invitation for me to be a guest on your show. So absolutely, absolutely. Anything that I can do to, you know, touch one more person, one more woman, one more child, I'm right there. So I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to applaud you because, you know, one thing we can start off right now talking about social stigma. You have done everything that society says that you should not have been able to do. You know, one thing that society has taught so many of our younger people and older people is the fact that we don't know how to take care of money. We certainly don't know how to save money. We don't know how to invest our money. We know nothing about money. So that in itself is worthy of applause because you have broken every chain that society has taught us that we were supposed to be shackled by. So I thank you. I thank you. And I'm so looking forward to us getting started. So, but before we get to that part of your life, because that's more or less the ending part, let's go back a little bit. We're going to work our way up to how you were inspired, I guess we could say, to become the powerhouse that you are today. And I had mentioned the book that you were a contributing author in, and I had your story here. And I'll tell you that I was reading the words and I was feeling what you felt. So take us back to that time in your life before the forgiveness, the healing, the moving forward and the success had come your way.
Oh, absolutely. I was a victim, of which I am now a victor, of a child abuse by my biological mother from as early as I can remember, from age, you know, toddler age until seven. And my story in a nutshell is that it all came to a head one night during when I was 7 years old. But until then, you know, I was really beaten into shame, into being what I believed was, or she believed was, perfect. And I was, as I now know, the brunt of, you know, what our family legacy was. My mother was 15 years old when she had me. She was in a girl's home when she had me. And so I kind of lived that same cycle once I became seven and the abuse had gotten so bad. And I ended up in a foster home, you know, before my teenage years. So it was a cycle that was completing in my family. And my grandmother had the same issues as I researched back. But in this particular instance, you know, one night I came home a latchkey kid, even though my mother was home. But she had a drug and alcohol abuse problem. And most of the time she would be passed out by the time, if she was even there. But we lived in the projects of a metropolitan area. And so I would come home from school. I would do what was expected of me, homework, make my TV dinner, and wash the dishes. Now, keeping in mind that this was all before I was seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so on this particular night, I was seven. I came home, did what I was supposed to do, except for I didn't wash the dishes clean. And she woke me up that night with a whooping with an extension cord, and she had pulled every dish out of the cabinet. And I rewashed all those dishes. I tried to, but being tired, being seven, I fell asleep. And so then, you know, she called me and, you know, gave me more punishment. And basically what the gist of the story that's in the book is that, you know, I was whooped with the extension cord, and then I was made to take a bath. And keeping in mind that all this time it was, you know, she was on a substance. She took various substances. But I kept telling her the water was too hot, and she held me down in the water. I put my feet up on the outside of the tub because, you know, when, and I can remember this vividly, is the your feet are were the most tender part, feet and the hands were the most tender part. And every time I put my feet in the water, you know, I felt a magnitude of heat that was unbearable for my feet. So I stood it, understood it until, I stood with it until, you know, she left. And then I sat there with my feet on top of the outside of the bathtub until she, I heard her go to bed, or I heard no more noise. And when I got out of the bathtub, I found out that I was burned. You know, it had blistered. So I hid this from her. And eventually what happened is that she, we were in this project, and somebody had robbed our house earlier, and she thought she heard her albums playing in somebody's house. So she went out with a rifle and was going to get her albums back or get the people who had robbed her house. So by the grace of our God, my God that I served, this was the time that I was found in my room after being in there days, and this started my journey into numerous foster homes. And then I ended up in a foster home when I was 13, but I was thought I was being taken away from everything that I knew. You know, all a child knows is that they're leaving their family. And it was only a 30-minute drive from the time I left my home and everyone that I knew to where my new home would be. But it seemed like the longest drive I had ever, you know, I still see, you know, and I felt like it was where, you know, you see the kids with their face up against the window with the social worker driving them to their next, that was me.
Right.
So from there, you know, and then in between there, I had really developed an attitude of myself against the world. I was angry. I didn't know why these things were happening to me. All I wanted to do was be back with my family, whether it was, you know, not good for me or not. But I was scared, you know.
Right.
Even though, I was a child and I was scared, but it was everything I knew. So I was taken to what I thought was, you know, away from what I knew to the unknown. But I later found out, and the foster mother that I was placed in the home with, she was, you know, my catalyst to breaking through the pain that I had. And I tell you, I was really on the road to being one of the statistics that they thought that a child that had been through what I had been through should be.
Right.
And I was really closed down by the time till I got to her home. I was rebellious. You know, I was, I had built a wall around myself. And, you know, my motto, I remember thinking, is if I'm not down alone like people, I do better without them. I, you know, really did not want to be bothered. But she worked, and she worked, and she worked to crack that shell. And ultimately she did. And as far as the forgiveness is concerned, because there was a good little piece there where I was adjusting. But then my mother passed when I was 16. And my mother, my foster mother, was having the most difficult time telling me that my mother had passed. She was actually murdered. Had passed. But when she set me down to do it, I said, great, because I felt like I had nothing else to worry about. Because my mother had gone from foster home to foster home. And every time, the reason why I was getting moved from foster home to foster home was because she wanted, in quotes, me back, and she was terrorizing each family. So they didn't feel safe. So that meant I had to go someplace else. And so my foster mother, the one that I ultimately ended up with, and the reason why I left my last foster home was because my mother had came and broken out the windows. And my aunt that was keeping me, who was my legal guardian then, she had just had open-heart surgery. So, so after I went there, and this is the final straw that really made me angry, because that was the only family member that had really took me in and stood by me. That night my mother came over. She wanted to know where we had been. My aunt had just got out of the hospital from open-heart surgery. And a fight ensued because my mother started beating me because I wouldn't say, and my aunt wouldn't say, you know, where we had been. And so the fight ensued, and my aunt tried to break it up. And then and we ended up calling the police because she broke the windows out, and the police took her. Well, I went to the restroom. Well, I told my aunt I was going to take my bath, and my aunt said, I'm going to rest. Well, I went into the bathroom to take my bath. And when I came out, I asked my aunt, do you want me to turn the TV off before I go to bed? And there was no answer. She had died in her sleep. So this is how I got taken from her to the foster home that I was just speaking of. And so, and there seemed to be a recurring theme with the bathtub, as I, you know, had seen this. But now the other foster mother was working on my shell. And, she, you know, when I told her that I, you know, oh, good. Maybe I can have some peace. This is what I'm thinking. And, you know, she was a woman who would tell it to you straight. You know, she had a way of, you know, when she spoke to us, we knew that she was telling us the truth as she knew it. So it worked on a very deep side of me when she started talking about forgiveness. And when she talked about not allowing someone else to hinder my entrance into heaven, not allowing someone to let it go. I didn't have to forget, but in order to blossom and move forward and not stay back in history, I was going to have to forgive my mother, not only because she's the one that gave me birth, but because it would be in my best interest. And there were some other things that we talked about, and then I ended up going to the funeral, and, you know, with as not a heavy heart as I had, but that's when I began my road to forgiveness. And I really started to work on that. And I really started to feel a relief, a lifting, as you will, of, you know, the weight that I had been carrying, being so angry all the time. And, you know, it was causing me at first within the home, the new foster home, to burn a lot of bridges. But she did something that many people would not do. Took in five teenage girls. She would only take in teenage girls. So we're all five teenage girls when we got there. And during this time, one may have went out for a little while and then one may have come in. But for the most part, we were the unit. So we were the family. But she taught me everything that I needed to know to be a productive member of society. And that's where I got my beginning. Then as a child, of course, when we look at it through a child's eyes, we think that it may have been the worst thing in the world. But as I look at it as an adult, and I've worked through much of that pain, in my early years, I've come full circle almost now. And it's always a work, a daily work. But when I was able to see how much I could benefit from the forgiveness and what the world had to offer, and that I could be the person to change the family legacy, that became my motivation, forgiveness and rewriting my story, writing the end of my story as I wanted it to be written. and right. changing my family legacy. So, yes, and as a child, like I said, you know, I felt like it was going from everything from, in my writing, I think I put from darkness to light is what I see as an adult. You know, I was in a dark, polluted areas, drug infested, and then I was in a new place by the beach, loving woman, and someone who had my best interest at heart. You know, we learned how to, you know, do chores, handle money, cook, clean, you know, everything I need to do my own hair, you know, everything, learn how to sew. Those are things that I didn't have access to in my other world. So as an adult, right. I see, and as late in my late teens, as I was able to gather more success, I was able to see that that was the best thing that could have happened to me, and that was God's plan. You know, sometimes yes. when we're stuck in it, we can't see it. And as my years have progressed, I've been able to see time after time after time of anything that goes on in my life, that is what I hold on to. My God is either saying, not now, yes, or no. But I have to wait and see what the plan is that's going to unfold. And that's basically what I've learned to do, you know, based upon that right. amount of span of time of my childhood.
Let me ask you this, because you said something that really stood out with me, is that you spoke about the fact that that was another world, that was a totally different place for you, a totally different time for you. In that other world, were there any male role models around? Was it just you and your mom? I guess, did you ever wonder why, other than the fact that, or was it just her drug use and things like that that made her the way she was? Or when you were that small child, because at 7 years old, to wash the dishes, I mean, you're seven, you're just a toddler. You are practically, you know, you're still just a baby. And when you got to that point of forgiveness, did you find yourself thinking about all of that and letting it go and thinking, you know what, mom had issues? And then did you get to that point where sometimes it's best to just let it go, because we're never going to get all of the answers that we need? So when you got to that point, when was that, what did that aha moment feel like to you when you got it, that it was time to exhale and let it go?
Okay, well, let me first address the male role models. There were no male role models per se that were in my life. My father wasn't there. I didn't meet him until I was an adult. But I remember that there were several of her boyfriends who protected me, who would stop her, who would take me to a neighbor's house, you know, who would stand between her and I. You know, I can remember vividly on at least two or three occasions where, you know, they had chosen to take me to what I thought was a godmother's house, which was a friend of my mother's, and, you know, protect me from my mother. Or they would argue with my mother. But so there were, you know, people who saw and, you know, did try to help, but, you know, never really called the authorities. And as far as my aha moment, I began the forgiveness process in my early teens. But in my later teens, as I got out, when I was emancipated at 17 and was living on my own, and I began to see the things that were out in the world at that time and really began to be an eyewitness of some of the things that were going on, I began to more understand possibly how my mother felt being a young teenage mother, being in the same cycle in which I had been in, because her, you know, it was a legacy, it was a family legacy. Mm-hmm. And so that really, in my early years of high school, my later years of high school, early years of college, was when I was really able to see, you know, because, you know, they had you write papers on your family. They had you write papers on who was your mentor. And it was a struggle for me.
Right, right.
You know, so, but I remember writing, you know, about the forgiveness on one of these papers that I had to write about my foster mother. And just what I just relayed to you, that I saw, although I didn't know, I saw it just physically as a going from a dark place to a light place. I began to be comfortable. Even the weather was better, you know, a clearer sky. But no, it wasn't only the drugs. The drugs enhanced it, I believe. But I believe it was the life that she had was living because of her family legacy and because of having me at such an early age.
Right.
Which now, what we see today, I know, well, you know, what a struggle it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then my story was not something that it was so hidden back in that day. No one ever told about those things. No one ever told
right.
about when, like you see now, the sexual abuse or the physical abuse. You know, you were supposed to keep it within the family. And that's what we did. And I even, in high school, there was a gentleman who, in my drama class, who took me under his wing as a mentor. And he had shown me how to write the story before. And we had did a stage play reading of it. But when I got my letter back from the proposal that I did for the book,
mm-hmm.
They said that I was asking for, how did they phrase it, too much sympathy than I would deserve, or something to that effect. You know, I don't remember what the exact words are. But,
mm-hmm.
of course, then it was a dash hope. But now, since, you know, everybody is opening up and trying those things now that I've written the book or the story in the book, or the contributing chapter in this book, I see that at that time it was not now, you know, as far as God was concerned.
Right.
But now, you know, is the perfect time, and he said yes, and it's allowing me to connect and, you know, touch so many people to be so they can be able to release their pain, live their purpose, and prosper. Just in the same way that I did it.
Yeah, I, you know, again, you're touching on so many things because it was so refreshing to hear that your mother's male associate stepped in for you. That in itself, I'm sure, was one of the divine interventions that God had for you. And I know recently, a couple months ago, I had a family member who we were just talking freely about some things, and they made a comment that they thought that something was wrong in my family growing up, but they just kind of brushed it aside. Pretty much that's the way they worded it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, did you just say that you all would sit around at your house and talk about the fact that you kind of felt something was wrong and you just brushed it aside because, you know, my mom is such a, you know, she it plays that role so well in public, but they knew that something was very wrong. And it wasn't just one family member, it was several. So, you know, I know what it's like to grow up and not have anyone to be in your corner. And you do. You sit there in silence and you take it and you just, you're a child. You don't have all of those cognitive senses to where you know, where you can think out rationally, I should call the police, I should do this. We don't know that as children. And then the worst part is so many of us grow up and, as you said, continue that cycle. We use our past to justify our poor decision-making in our future. So, with that said, you know, I know that it's about now you telling your story and you helping other women. So let's move up. You've been emancipated. You're getting out there into the world. And this is when you get a taste of what we call the adult life, you start to accumulate debt. So we're going to move along, and we're going to talk about that because, once again, that's what's expected. You know, society says, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. Get yourself in debt. Get yourself on some of the public programs. You're supposed to just become another number in the system. So for you, I know that in reading your story that you wanted better for yourself. So just bring us up to that point when you were emancipated and you saw suddenly that, you know, you had come out into the world debt-free and free as a bird, and then suddenly you found yourself being weighed down in a different way than you were when you were, you know, much younger. So enlighten us on that a little bit. Yeah.
Absolutely. As we were saying that, you know, I finished my senior year in high school working two jobs, and I only had four classes in high school. So I would take the four classes, you know, from 8 to 12 or 1, go home and sleep for a while, and then I worked at a retail store from 6 to 9, and then I worked overnight from 12 to 6. And at a, like, an operator station, a service operator for a construction company. But this is all the motivation that I had to keep my head above water because I had no place to go. You know, my foster mother, I had been emancipated because my foster mother had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and they had closed her foster home down. So there was no turning back for me.
Right.
Now, there was, with that said, I was doing pretty well as far as being working all those jobs and, you know, get myself to high school, finish high school. Now, when I first tried to go to college, I didn't know much about, you know, getting to a four-year college. I just was trying to get through high school. And so I went to a community college. And back then, which is great that they don't have it so much now because of legislation, you know, they had a credit card table at every place. You know, you get your water bottle, your free water bottle, whatever they're giving you, and they, you know, hand you a card for $5,000 worth of debt. You know, that might be an exaggeration. I don't remember exactly what it was I would get as far as how much my limit was on these cards. But if I worked where I worked, and I was able to, you know, I had a roommate. I was able to pay my bills. But see, what came and what I later found out in my research as far as personal finance goes, it was the pain and it was the mindset that I had that helped me accumulate that $20,000+ a day. I was emotionally spending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition to putting, you know, a little bit here and there on my credit card to live. But it was all in emotions. And, you know, that really fascinated me. When I would read different things by personal finance authors, I was when I originally went to college, I didn't know what I was going to major in. But then, you know, I found family and consumer sciences as a major and with a personal finance minor. But I always loved numbers. I always had this deal for math. But anyway, once I began to have that, you know, that heavy feeling coming again, you know, that burden again was a different type because now I'm doing it to myself, again, letting everything, someone else or my past hold me captive. I couldn't sleep. I was one that really wanted to succeed. I wanted to pay my bills. I wasn't dodging the creditors. You know, so I would work as much as I needed to get it done. So, long story short, you know, I began to get the gleam of, you know, once I decided that I was going to pay this debt down and I wanted to go transfer to a four-year college and I wanted to be able to pay for that on my own. So what I did was I like I said, I read everything. I've done all the legwork that needed to be done in personal finance to help others. So I got my plan together. You know, I had my long-term, short-term goals of the things I needed to get, what I needed to buy, what I was going to do in the future, and created a plan to pay that debt down with the money I already made, which I, of course, got it from a guru. Of course, they still use it today, so it still works. Personal finance guru back in that day, but it worked. you know, and it helped me pay it off in a fast amount of time. And once I paid it off, I was like, oh, wow, I have all this extra money. And
right.
I had been working on my personal development as well and my mindset so I wouldn't repeat that cycle. So that's how I was able to accumulate the money, keep putting it in the bank to buy my first home. You know, and I had my first home by the time I was 25, just turned 26.
Right.
You know, with a conventional loan because they didn't have all the programs that they have now. I put 10% down and got the PMI. But still, I was a homeowner. And that only fueled, you know, what I could see for myself from where I had come from. So,
right.
Yes, creating a plan, sticking to that plan, knowing that, you know, when it comes to debt and money management, please don't believe, well, you can have a plan A, B, and C, but they all should entail something to move forward.
Right.
You know, there's no fallback plan. I didn't have a fallback plan out of, you know, just the simple way my life fell. But people believe that they have a fallback plan. That's why they don't continue on their path. Or, you know, they are dealing with some things in which they need to release emotionally. Their mindset needs to be clear. You know, they need to change their money story.
Right.
And work on the inner as well as just the finances itself. Because I will be the first to, you know, tell you that I recognize that as emotional spending. A lot of the money at the time that I got, I didn't to amass a debt, I didn't have to spend. But it was something that made me feel better. So
right.
That meant I also had to read the personal finance book and the personal development book as well. That, and I have no shame in saying that I was willing to do, and I encourage my clients to be willing to do, anything necessary to get well. So if it means taking personal development classes, if it means reading personal development books in public, wherever you need to read them, that's why the shelves are so full. If those shelves were not full of, and we didn't need the development books, the shelves would not be as full as they are.
Right.
But, or whether it's therapy, you know. There were some times earlier, you know, particularly in my teenage years, in which I had to go to therapy. Because, you know, number one, it was court ordered. But it helped. Oh, it helped
right.
me move, you know, forward.
Right. Give me 1 second. Welcome to all of our guests in the call query and in the chat room. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to type it in the chat room, and I'll read it for you on air. And to our guests in the call query, if you have a question or a comment, press the number 1 on your phone, and I will bring you on air to talk to my special guest this evening, Nisha Jackson. We are talking about everything from tragedy to triumph, from pain to purpose. And we're talking about something different, finances. We're talking about finances. So with that said, I have a question for you. When you say that you were doing the emotional spending, for our listeners who may not understand or they're not quite getting what that means, and they may not even know that it applies to them because we do this quite often, explain to the listeners what that entails when you get into that cycle of emotional spending.
Emotional spending is a mindset that we're trying to soothe whatever woes or you know, things that are bothering us emotionally through things. And that's what's prevalent, unless for, say, for example, with hoarders these days. But I was going through, first of all, I've never been a person who likes to shop. Okay? I'm not the typical, stereotypical woman. I don't like to stay in stores and go through racks and this, that, and the other. But I was buying clothes, and clothes still had tags on them. I was buying clothes for a size that I would get back down to, you know. I was coming home with a bag more frequently, things rather than groceries, and not paying my necessities because it was making me feel better in that moment. It was putting a small little Band-Aid on my wound right. for a moment. And I said, small Band-Aid. Because eventually that wound just grows larger and larger and larger emotionally if you don't tackle it. And so, yes, it's emotional spending. Most of the time it comes out in eating, spending, or spending and eating. You know, since I wasn't a shopper, I yeah. also wouldn't, you know. But, yes, I was buying things that I didn't have, you know, really didn't have the funds for. Because, you know, like we were just discussing, it was on debt. It was on credit cards. And mm-hmm. it was $20,000 plus. And that I really didn't have room for in a home that I shared with a roommate. So which means I only had a room. The place was fully furnished when I came. You know, but mm-hmm. so I was shopping my way out of my own room. You know, because I had so many things in there that I had purchased to make me feel good. So emotional spending is, you know, something that you use to ease the pain of what you should be dealing with, to avoid dealing with what you should be dealing with mentally.
Right. And you also spoke about something that most people don't take time to sit down and put down a plan. And especially, we don't even have to get into the long term. Let's talk about some things people can do right here, right now, tonight. The minute they don't even have to get off of this call or this show, they can start putting something short-term. What are some examples of the short-term things that people can do right here, right now, without any hesitation?
Number one, you can print out what's called a spending plan. And write down what all your fixed expenses are, and those are things that are the same every time you pay them every month. And then your variable expenses. And on the next side, you can do that on a piece of paper. You don't even have to print it out. You can write that down, what you have to pay every month, and what's a fixed expense. Because let's say your car payment. Your car payment is a fixed expense. But your phone, electricity, those are variable expenses, although you still have to do them every month. Now, you know, mm-hmm. of course people shy away from the term budget. Let's call it a spending plan, if that makes you feel any better. But what you want to do is find out your assets plus your liability, you know, whether they even out, your assets and liabilities. So you want to know how much income you have coming in, which is your asset, and your liabilities, for lack of a better word, would be the money that you have going out. You want to see where you stand as far as that's concerned. So if your assets are lower than your liabilities, then you know you already have trouble. You have a problem. So you need to sit down and figure out what you can cut down on in order to make them equivalent or the liabilities less than your assets. And open all your mail. I've had clients who will not open their mail, fear what they're going to see on the bill. But you won't know, you won't be able to develop a plan, you won't be able to tackle it unless you confront it. And track your spending. Track your spending for 30 days. If you have holes in your pocket, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you track your spending for 30 days, that means everything that you, not the things that you already have on your spending plan, but when you go on a store and you buy something, write it down. Take one of the little 3x5 little memo pads that have a little ring on them, put a rubber band around them for those women or ladies that put them in their purse so they won't get so, you know, tainted. And write down everything you've done for 30 days. And then you can see where you need to eliminate. Do you really have to, you know, buy the chips, the soda, the gum, when you went into whatever for one thing?
Right.
Whatever place for one thing. And do you really need that cup of coffee? Until you get yourself together, we don't want to live so restrictive to we're not enjoying our life, but we want to live now to better the way that we live later. So track your spending, open your bills, confront and face everything that you need to confront and face, create a spending plan. Those are three immediate things that can be done right now, and where you can find extra money. And this may sound really remedial, and like you already knew that, but money has energy. Money requires respect. The energy, that's why they say money is in circulation. It's not to be harbored and held on to. You know, you're to give freely. You are to take care of yourself. But you have to respect money. So for all that change, this is the remedial part that I was thinking of. I have my clients get a nice, well, I use it myself. My husband had bought me some flowers. And what would you do with the vase? He no longer buys flowers because I, you know, to me that's just a waste of money for myself. I have a plant that I can keep alive a little bit longer, but they just don't last so long. But I did have these vases, these very pretty vases, but in the earlier days when we recorded, that I still have today. I take one and I put my change. We all do put our change in there. My children have one in their room, you know, where somebody gave them something. They have a container in which they can hold their change, which is pretty, which, you know, really makes them feel good to put it in there. You know that my daughter had, in a month's time, when I, my 15-year-old, when I instituted her going around, she was taking our change now, that she would be lying around, or she was picking up a penny off the street or whatever. When I took her by the end of that month, she had $145 in that change jar. So that means that all the change that you have just laying in your car or laying on your counter or in your seat cushions or whatever, if you put it into one place, you can go there and do the little Coinstar or whatever it's called, and you can, you know, have them give you the money for it. And you can use that to buy groceries, pay a bill. But in 30 days, for a 15-year-old to have found $145, that's like a no-brainer.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the things that can be done. And these are all the things that I'm going to ask you to do when we come together, you know, when my clients come to me.
Right.
And they have to submit these things to me. And I analyze it. I show them how to write everything up, but I analyze their spending and their 30 days of tracking. And they're so amazed at how much they find that they have wasted money on that they could have saved. You know, and to use to pay down debt. And there's a linear, in the report that you were speaking of, the money gift that I gave, there's a linear mathematics formula in which I have in the back of that report that shows how I paid the $22,000 down in debt in the fastest possible time with the money I already made. And that is exactly how it should be paid for, you know, any of the clients. I give them a step-by-step of how it should be paid. There's paying minimum balance on each card and, you know, trying to make it stretch. That's not the problem. That's why you stay in debt for 30 years. But those are the one, three things that I could say. Create a spending. First of all, put your goals down. Have some sort of goals. If you don't have to do anything but 1 to 3 years, those are short term.
Right.
You know, so what do you want to do in the next year and the next 3 years? Where would you like your life to be positively changed by that time that required? See, money is not money for money's sake. Money is for what we can do with it and how we can live with it, what it allows us to do. So that's what kept me motivated, and much of my time was envisioning and dreaming about what I could do. You know, how much freer my life would be with, you know, no money worries as far as, you know, that was concerned. So living how I have to live now or then to live like I live now and how I will live in retirement.
Right.
It's a beautiful feeling to me.
You know, one of the things that when I had gone through my ordeal and my divorce from my abuser and all of that is I had to start over. And when you're used to waking up in the morning and not knowing when it's even payday because the money was there and all of this, and then suddenly it's gone, I had to learn how to assess my life, my living, everything. You know, I had to learn that when I go to the store, I would look to see, okay, the store brand chips are here. They're a dollar less than the name brand. I've just saved myself a dollar. And if I did a blind taste test, most times I wouldn't be able to tell the difference of certain things anyway. I do notice that a lot of people are like, nope, I got to have this particular brand. I have to have this particular that. When you go through things with people and you may see that they have this, their name brand people, is there a program to enlighten them on the fact that something they just don't need it because of the name? Because really, if it's something that you can eat, you're not eating that name, you're eating a cookie or you're eating a chip. So is this chocolate chip cookie going to taste any worse than the chocolate chip cookie that you get out of the box that costs, you know, $2.50 more? So it's little
right.
things, you know, they're little things that I learned. I had to learn to deal with, living with, you know, not what I was used to. And I'll tell everybody and all the listeners, I actually enjoy, you know, when I got knocked back down to rock bottom, I actually, to a degree, enjoy the fact that I'm getting myself back on my feet. I am, you know, learning how to turn off the lights. It's amazing. If you turn off one light, why people keep on so many lights in their house and rooms that they're not in is beyond me, and that's always fascinated me. And I can, you can cut down your electric bill. If you just turn off some appliances and lights in rooms that you're not really in. So I just learned so many things, and I'm sure that sitting up here listening to you speak, you know, it could really open up to other venues and avenues that I haven't even begun to think about. So before we
well, go. Let me touch on something that you just said there.
Okay.
First of all, as far as name brands versus generic brands, in my
mm-hmm.
studies and my research, I have found documentation to the fact that many of these brands that are store brands are
mm-hmm.
the same brands made by the same people who make the name brands. They
mm-hmm.
just contracted, the stores just contracted out for a lesser price for them to make that particular item for them, and they put their name on it.
Right.
That's how they can sell it less expensive because they don't have the overhead that the person they contracted out to make XYZ. So absolutely. And
yes.
that's how the, you know, the company, the larger companies get multiple streams of income to keep themselves going is by contracting out their equipment to give them the same product but let them put their name on it. So it is just a personal preference. Also, if you look at the ingredients on the back of, because I don't go into anything blindly, on the back of a couple of products, you'll see the same ingredients start, same four ingredients start with the same product.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that those, well, those that don't know, I know, and many others, that most of what are in, the ingredients that are in a particular item to make a particular item, the first four ingredients are what's mostly in that item to make it taste the way it does or to make it, you know, work or feel the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
So if the first four ingredients are the same thing in both products, then why not give that other one a try? We have to be, and this is what I teach my youth, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, our youth has gotten caught up in this name brand deal. You know, there you can get name brands, but there are also less expensive places to get the name brands. So it doesn't mean you
right.
have to be, you know, at whatever the particular designer is in order to get it. But you can, you know, get it at a factory outlet or whatever. But we have to stop being so held hostage to name brands. You
yeah.
know, we have to be able to live comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And really not, as the children call it today, floss. But, yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
my husband and I, when we bought, because I also flipped real estate before during this time of my life, shall I say. As I was speaking of multiple streams of income, we all need to have multiple streams of income by the time retirement time comes, because we can't rely on just one and have that as the funnel and it dries up and then we have nothing, particularly for Social Security. What I don't want people to do is be held captive and living based on our government, because you see, there has not been, I have, known a president who's had a real strong financial background. So how is he maneuvering, how are they maneuvering all this money and making all these decisions, you know, without having a strong finance background? That's why the government is in the debt that they're in today, and they're trying to print money, or not today, but in the always up in history, print money and, you know, move here, move there. You know, so you have to have multiple streams of income. But being tied to those things, when we bought our, I bought my first house, and then we bought another one once I met my husband, and we moved, and then we started flipping real estate together. But I told him, if ever, when I bought my first home, if I ever, if there'll never be a time when we're not able to go back to square one. We cannot be so attached to this till it ruins our marriage. Because I know from the job that I do, the expert that I am, that money is the number one reason of divorces. So going on, we'll be married 27 years in August.
Oh, wow.
Been together 31 years. So, but, and we've had, you know, early years, like any young couple, and having our children, you know, at the time when they're young and things like that, you know, it was a hustle. But we never let it come between us. You know, so we have to be okay with, you know, having to start over, if we have to start over. But if you're managing your money and you are, you know, having the multiple streams of income, you more than likely won't, unless there's a divorce or a death. And, you know, and those are the people who I really primarily originally started working with in my target market, because I wanted people who had nothing, didn't have anyone to fall back on to be able to master money themselves, because that's what I had to do when I had nobody to fall back on. So originally I was working with single mothers, divorced, and widow women. And so, you know, they really had had to release that pain and know that they had a certain amount of grieving time that they had to go through and work on themselves in order to handle money effectively. Many of them came into large sums of money, but they were spending emotionally. So those originally people, and then, you know, most of my, that I set up my business to help, you know. But now it is, in the economy, the past economy, and the lack of assistance, or and also the lack of knowledge about how to manage money, you know, my business has been recession-proof. And I say that because when people are losing their jobs, they need to still know how to start businesses, you know, how to have lucrative businesses. When they were, you know, losing their job, they needed to learn how to manage their money. So what I'm saying this to say that this is the reason why I help those people, because I want them to be able to stand on their own, always be able to find a way out as I had to find a way out. That is my story.
Right.
That is how I'm a lot like them. So that's why, you know, relieving the pain, you know, finding your purpose, and living profitably or prosperously.
And for all of our guests, once again, if you have any questions, anything you'd like to ask about finances or the healing process or moving forward, press the number one on your phone if you're in the call query, or if you're in the chat room, feel free to type out your question or comment, and I'll read it for you on air. And I have placed the link to the financial information, the Money Secrets gift. I placed it both in the show chat room and in our Facebook events page for you. And if you'd like to contact Nisha, we will be sharing all of her contact information in a few moments. But before we go, let's talk a little bit about the book project and how you got involved with that. And we did touch on your story there. How can people get a copy of it? Give us all of that contact information for the book. And, of course, how to contact you, because we need what you provide. We need this people. Across the board, as a people, we need to start doing what our counterparts do. And what that means, whether we see men who are successful, other women who are successful, other social economic groups, we need to start becoming successful for ourselves. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a trillionaire, billionaire, and all of that, but we need to know how to live comfortably and not worry about when we will have money to pay the bills. What's the old adage, robbing Peter to pay Paul? We need to put them both in retirement. Leave them there and sustain for ourselves. This is how you do it. When we have guests, and some people may be thinking, this is about money. Yes, it's about healing. We have to be healthy financially as well as spiritually, every other way. We have mentally, physically, spiritually, and financially. We have to be healthy 100%. Because 99 and a half just won't do. So that, people, get involved. Get your finances in order. Because as Nisha said, you see what's been going on in society for the last couple of years. So many people are out of work. I was just on my alumni site, and so many people have yet to find jobs, and some of them graduated years ago. And some lost their jobs, their companies shut down, and they cannot find work. And they want to figure out how to stay above water. This is how you do it. You contact the experts. You get with the people who know the business of the business. We have a comment in our chat room, in our events room. Tina Hobson writes, Nisha Jackson, what are your thoughts about 12-step programs like Emotions, Debtors, Anonymous, et cetera?
Okay, it was Emotions and what? I'm sorry.
Debtors, Anonymous, et cetera.
It depends on, as far as the 12-step program, it depends on what the outlay is for what you're going to get, okay? You need to really research those. If it's something that is a, you know, complimentary, meet every month, you know, sort of like, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and things, that you can go and be with like-minded people who are struggling with the problem, but also who are having trying to find a road to success with regards to that. You don't want to be in the same, you don't want to be able to say, you're the same people with the five, you're like the five people you hang around with.
Right.
So you really don't, you want someone, you want to get with a group of people that are, you know they have a problem and they're making advances. And they're making a strategy to make advances. And there should not be an ongoing fee. You know, my fees are fee only. There should not be an ongoing fee or a commission-based because, number one, they're going to try to sell you so much as you don't need because they're commission-based. The ongoing fee is only going to get you further in whatever problem that you're in. But if it's somewhere that you feel comfortable going and, you know, there's a comfortable fee there, which you can, and they're looking for or they're giving you tools to help yourself out, then yes. But if they keep recurring and asking for money and you guys are still sitting around, you know, excuse this expression, but saying, woe is me,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's really not the best place for you. There are different types. And so you would have to research and find out the different types. You know, it should be a fee only, one time, unless you up-level into another program. Oh, well, you can pay payments, of course, on that one fee, but you should know what you're paying for and what you're going to have to pay up front is what I'm saying. Not that
right.
Less 12 steps is going to take 24 months and I'm paying every month. It should be, a, you know, fast, quick, and in a hurry to get
right.
you, you know, so you won't get discouraged. I like my clients and I like the people that I deal with, even my youth. I like, because I give back, I mentor youth, at-risk youth. I like them to see, get excited right away. So they still
right.
have that motivation to keep on going. So it depends
exactly.
on, you know, what type of program you're speaking of. But, you know, you don't want to just go there every month and say, you know, hi, I'm Nisha, and I'm in debt, you know, $22,000. Then next month you're going, because you had to pay them, you have to pay them $500, so you go to next month and say, hi, I'm Nisha, I'm in $22,500 check, $500
right.
debt. You want to be able to make progress. You should be going, your money should be going down. Any debt you have should be going down. You shouldn't be reoccurring paying with them. And I don't know if you're speaking of these, there are a lot of those that, you know, do ask you, it just crossed my mind that you may be speaking of one of those places that says, you know, are you in this much debt? We'll get you out. But yet they're charging you so much money so you can't get out. And they're
right.
not giving you any effective tool to. No. You can get out of debt without paying and without being held hostage month after month. And they claim that they are the ones that are saying, you know, we'll get your interest rate lowered. You know, give us $1,000 up front and we'll get the interest rate lowered. No guarantee of how low the interest rate is going to be. No guarantee of whether they can consolidate whatever credit. And consolidating the credit doesn't really help you unless they get the interest rate lowered. And also unless you're paying a good amount of time on that. So how are you going to pay them with that money and still pay their fees? Pay down your debt and pay their fee. It's a much easier way to get out of it,
right.
you know, and a much more exciting way. And you get to learn, you know, they learn you, they don't teach you how to continue and live without them in most cases,
right.
basically.
Is there,
so that's what you need to know.
Are there certain things that people should look for in when they're looking for financial advisors, when they're looking for, are there different types of financial advisors? Because, you know, sometimes, I don't know if they do it in California, but here you could go to a restaurant and there's a bowl that says drop your business card and you get a free meal for you and 10 people, and then it comes out and it's someone from some credit card company or some known bank, and then they want you to invest in all of this, but you know, if you're deep in debt already, you don't have money to invest anything. So
mm-hmm.
are there different types? Are there certain things that people should look for when they're looking for financial advisors? Because there's a lot of interesting programs and people out here that are selling snake oil salesmen, let's just call them that, that are selling any and everything. Are there certain red flags, I guess you could say, that people should look out for before they actually sign their name on the dotted line and, you know, start giving their money to someone?
Yes, whether they work on commissions, though we're going to put them in one different categories. These are the categories that you want to stay away from. Whether they work on commission, whether they work for a company that's an overhead company in which it sells products, insurance products, being, you know, homeowners, life, auto, usually that ties into the insurance. The places that have to go out, and I've seen those too, where they rent out the hotel room or whatever, and, you know, put your business card in there, and you get the two free dinners. And like you said, when you go there, everybody's pitching from the stage. Or,
right.
you know, they're selling something that is really not in your best interest. Those are three types there not the ones you do want to work for, have work for you, or you want to do work with, are fee only. You pay a one-time fee. You find out what the program is up front. You find out, you know, what your end goal is going to be and what they're going to provide, and that they're going to, whatever it is that they're advertising, is going to be something that you can live and be able to do without them once you're done. And also, nonprofits. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of government-subsidized nonprofits now that will help you and be able to give you that information in which you can live after you leave them, and it won't be as costly as when you go with someone who needs to pay their overhead as well. You know?
Right.
So those two, for sure, fee-based, financial planner, financial analyst, financial strategist, and nonprofit are where you're going to get more than likely your best for the money that you're going to expend, and you're going to get something that will allow you to live without hanging on to them and being able to keep, you know, coming back to them and
right.
keep paying their bill, and you're still in the same situation. If they're doing it for you and they're not showing you how to do it, then stay away from it. Because, number one,
right.
you always want to know how your money is being handled by whoever it's being handled by, and you want to know how to do it yourself so that you understand. You know, just like when you have your taxes done, when you have your taxes done, you are to, you should be looking over your taxes after your tax man, because I have looked over my taxes after tax man and found several mistakes and had to call him and send it back. And then, it's time to stop paying him. But you already, by that time, if you have sent them off, you will have to talk to the IRS. So, but what I had was an understanding of how my taxes should be done.
Right.
And you, without doing it myself. And you have all that information when you supply them with the numbers in order to put. If he's making up his own numbers or, you know, his numbers are different than the ones you gave him, then you have a problem. That is eventually going to catch up with you. So, always have a basic understanding of, you know, what the person is going to do for you and what they're doing on your behalf. And that's like, you know, many people have said, make sure, and this is what I do as well, sign your own checks, you know,
mm-hmm.
in business in particularly. And that's another division of my company. And for those people, entrepreneurs who own businesses, to know their numbers, to increase their revenue, to increase their profit, you can't do those things unless you know what the liabilities, how much it costs you to put on whatever event or marketing and advertising.
Right.
So you won't know what your revenue is, and you can't grow that revenue or make an additional profit if you don't know what your numbers are as far as expenses are concerned. So, you know, I work in both of those areas. But, see, it all boils down to the same thing. Know your number, know your expenses, and know
mm-hmm.
Your profits or assets. That's the simple, you know, just a real simple bottom line. But I would only deal with fee-only people and people who are laying out for me exactly what I'm getting, you know, for
right.
whatever my outlay is or nonprofits. Gone are the days. Where, you know, because many of the people who became financial planners are now working for larger institutions because they were able to make it as financial planners. And what I mean by that is that they need the products of the institution that they're working for to be able to sell to get their commission, because people were turning away from commission-based financial planners. And if they say, if you get a person who tells you, I can't help you, then that's a person, you know, you can trust. It may
right.
not be hard to hear, but if you've gotten so far deep to, they're like, oh, I'm not going to sell you any pie in the sky. I'm going to tell you, I can't help you. I don't want you to waste your money.
Right.
I can give you some tools to get you started, but I'm not going to charge you. And that's a person with ethics. You know, that's a person
right.
who's living by the ethics that, you know, financial planners we are sworn to uphold. You know, so, yeah, absolutely. If you go to a financial planner and they say, you know, they look at your numbers and they look at everything that you have and they give you an honest assessment of, you know, you've gotten real deep, it may hurt, yes, when they refer you to a bankruptcy lawyer or, you know,
mm-hmm.
whichever, you know. But you see many multimillionaires who have filed for bankruptcy before, too, so it's not the end of the world. Not something you want to
right.
strive for. But it's no longer
right.
anything to be ashamed of, but nothing you want to strive for. I want to reiterate that.
right. okay. Tina Hobson in the events chat room, she says, so just to be clear, she said that you do feel as though the 12-step program is a good one, would be highly effective in most people's situations.
Well, I wouldn't say in most people's situations. There will be people who will be able to benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But most, no. It will go on the individual basis of, you know, they need to outline, put in black and white, and you need to understand what they're offering you and how are these 12 steps going to help you come out in the end. You know, is
right.
it going to be for your betterment? Because there's several of them out there with 12-step programs, but they're all of 12 steps, they're different steps. You know, they may be the base of what we've heard in the past, but the
right.
way they, their twist that they've put on it varies. So you need to find that it won't be one size fits all or most. You know, you need to know that that's a specific, that's your specific problem that they have there, and they specifically will be able to help you with whatever your particular situation is.
Right. So you have to make sure
and
that the 12 steps. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And also, you know, are they dealing with the emotional that got you in that? Is that part of the 12 steps? In addition to how you are to pay the bill?
Right.
They need to be able to address, you need to be aware, number one. You need to be very real with yourself, very open with yourself, and know that you have a problem if you have a problem, whoever, you know, anybody, that they have a problem, like I did. When I started reading about these different things, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm spending emotionally. I have not healed what needed to be healed.
Right.
So, yeah, they need to tackle both of those, or if you're sure you don't have that issue, then they need to just tackle the fundamentals. So there are some that can help individually. I can't say it's one size fits all, or
right.
most people will be helped, benefited through 12-step program.
So there's no blanket policy for the 12 steps. There could be 12 different programs with 12 different 12 steps. In other
Absolutely.
Words. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because they,
so they have
they,
to really do their homework.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you would think, you know, when they will have the basis of what their ethics and their regulations require, but after that
mm-hmm.
they can add all the bells and whistles they want. And, you know, that means that all the same bells and whistles won't help this person over here, and they may help the other person. They may have the basis or the foundation, yes. But that's very that's not a meaty foundation. That's a very thin foundation because the regulation, as far as that's concerned, they just ask you for the basics.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been sitting up here talking, and I'm sure a lot of people right now, because, you know, numbers tend to intimidate a lot of people. And then you spoke about a strategist, a planner, an advisor. I can't remember whether there was a fourth one. What are the differences? You know, if I'm sitting up here, what am I supposed to go talk to? What's a strategist? What's a planner? What is an advisor? Who, you know, some people don't even know where to begin. Maybe they should be talking to that advisor as opposed to a strategist. So what are the differences between the different titles?
Well, say for instance, for myself, for a strategist, I was also a personal financial planner, but I chose to take my business model in the direction that it is today. So I am no longer a registered investment. So I couldn't give you information on investments.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But a financial planner with the RA credentials can. So you would need to know if that's what you want to get into. If you want to, there are very few that are just going to tell you, you know, basically how to do your spending plan, you know, pay off your debt, just the fundamentals like this. And that's what I found that most people need because, like you said, they are intimidated. When they get into with the financial planner, when they would see it in my office and I was in brick and mortar, and I see their eyes glaze over, that was dismaying to me. And also, they want to invest, but they've got 19% debt, and they're only going to get, let's say, 10% on their investment. That wasn't a good day. They understand that they're already in the hole. But the difference between an advisor can advise you, strategist can strategize with you, but usually a financial planner has full investment capabilities, so he can that person can hire help you from retirement, from the beginning until retirement, from where we are until retirement. But understand that there's always going to be something that needs to be modified or tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
So because I would give a person a plan, you know, being a financial planner, before I would give the person a plan from their 20-year-old to their retirement, what they're supposed to do, and then the stock market falls through, then you have to go back and have your plan revamped. But yes, full-fledged financial planners, particularly certified financial planners, are you know, they have investment behind their name, registered agents. They have the ability to, you know, give you investment advice. They have the ability to, many of them have insurance capability, and they're usually all on commission, usually. They're the very few fee-based financial planners that you find. So that's why you have a fee-based advisor. What we're doing is we're advising you or we're strategizing with you on what you need to do with the money you already make for one single fee for whatever time frame that you need help to clear whatever problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you go to an advisor or a strategist who's just there with a fee base, most of them are there just to help you. And you're much more at ease with the numbers and the explanations that they give you. You have to know a lot more when you go to a financial planner who has all those abilities to sell you insurance, to invest in stock for you, to handle your portfolio, all those things. You have to be a lot more money and number savvy at that point, and that's what's intimidating. Bring it back to where you are. Start from where you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into a long-term or get close to retirement time, not even close to retirement time, but if you are already starting late and you need to hustle and get some investments in there that are going to turn, and which you should have started earlier, that's what they'll tell you, start it earlier and leave it in. But if you're one of those people who didn't invest in the IRA, like the Roth IRA, didn't invest in the IRA, and now you're taking advantage of the fact that you can do an extra $5,000 because you hit age 50, or $6,000 now, hit age 50, then your best bet will be to go to a registered agent that can tell you all the different products that are out there. They basically deal in products, financial planners, and registered agents.
Okay.
And the fee-based, no, or the milkies and seed-based only. Our lotus is going to sit down and show you what you need to do to get you out of the predicament you're in now and how to grow to where you need to be in the future without investment strategy.
Without investment strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You said, okay. Because I know go ahead.
I can tell you the different types of investments, but I cannot help you invest in them.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That's what you go to a financial planner for or a registered agent for, to have them do the actual investments for you. But I can, give you the definition of what the products are there.
Ah, okay. And this is a regulated field, so theoretically, when you walk into an office, you want to see some type of credentials for these so-called planners before you give them all of your information and your money.
It's a regulated field, and it has to be, you have to have continuing education programs, continuing education credits. You have to go every year, and, depending on what your actual title is, you have to get from anywhere from 30 to 70 or 90 credits every year to stay up on the things that that are coming out and keep you present. Yes, you want to have those. You want to know that they're doing their continuing education. You want to see their credentials for the financial planners and even the, myself, a strategist. All of us have a code of ethics, which is a foundation of what needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
that must be adhered to.
Well,
basically it's run by the Financial Planning Association, FPA, but, you can find out some information there as to what their code of ethics is, what the code of ethics is. Not there, but they give it, they allow the public to see it is what I'm saying. If you ever
mm-hmm.
want to research anything. And that's also where you can find out the differences.
Well, I tell you, you have truly shared some knowledge with us this evening. I said it before, if you're in the call queue and you have a question, now is the time to press the number 1 on your phone to get that answered for you before we end our session. And, of course, to the guest in the chat room, if you log in as a guest, give us a call at 646-478-4726 if you have a question or a comment, because you can't participate in the chat when you are logged in as a guest. So give us a call, 646-478-4726. I think I've pretty much asked a lot of questions because I had those submitted beforehand, because I wanted to make sure that we spent as much time giving this information as we could this evening. But again, let's go back to the book and you're a contributing author to the book. Give us the title again and how folks can get a copy of that. And last but not least, your closing words and advice and, of course, how people can reach you, because they definitely need to get some guidance on this path called financial help.
Yeah, absolutely. Be proactive rather than reactive. Proactive meaning that you have the upper hand in the beginning, and you're able to, know what's happening. But once you mess up, and it becomes reactive, and that's the harder arena to get out of. But the name of the book is Pebbles in the Pond, Transforming One Person at a Time. And it's Wave 3. So there are 3 sessions, Wave 3, and it's a compilation anthology of different people who have gone through different things and come out on the other side victorious. It's motivating. It's encouraging. There is something in the book for each person, that can touch many different lives, many different types of individuals who have contributed to the book. We have one brother. There's all women, Lisa Nichols, Sark, Christine Closier, and then as well as other about 29 other transformational authors, and we have one brave male in there, who women put in there with women. But, yes, and you can get your signed copy from me from my website at www.financiallybrilliantwomen.com / pebbles. And you can contact me through financiallybrilliantwomen.com. You can go and email support. Or Nisha at financiallybrilliantwomen.com, either one of those or two. You can find me on Twitter under Nisha Jackson. And I have a fan page under Financially Brilliant Women's Institute on Facebook. And I am in there on Facebook personally, friendly. I love people in my community, and I love, you know, giving good advice and motivation and being able to uplift. So, and like I said, it costs you nothing to take advantage of the report that I'm offering that has everything. Some of them may be for novice person and amateur, or maybe some that's a lot more advanced. But I try to make that a report so it'll be understood by the masses and easy to follow steps. And some you may say, yeah, I knew that. But if you know that, why aren't you implementing? You know, so, but I'm just saying that there's three steps there for everybody. You know, it's something there for everybody, including that gold mine, that gem at the end of the debt management. You know, how to pay off your debt, what order to pay off your debt, to pay it off in the fastest possible time, and then being able to use that money to save for whatever future goal you have. And let's see. If you sign up for there, of course, you'll get the newsletter. You'll find out where I am speaking, what I'm doing. You'll get information, complimentary information, to further your financial success. So if I could say, like I said, one thing is to be proactive. You know, I am on a mission to keep people from going down when the government goes. Allowing them to take us as individuals with them. I want everybody not to be held hostage to a corporation because they have a lack of knowledge or they're not being proactive in their own. And they, you know, if you have that mindset that, let's be real, if you have that mindset that, you know, you want to depend on someone else, I can tell you that I'm not the person that can help you. But if you're waiting on, I think it was over one week, David, if you're waiting on someone to, you know, come and save you, you know, to live your life for you, that's not going to happen. Right. I can assist you, and I will, I am giving you the same, I am giving you the rope. You need to take the rope and pull and help yourself up, basically is what she's saying and what I'm saying. You know, I can give you the tools, and I want to see you succeed. But I have, as I spoke earlier, if you come in and you are not doing the work that's necessary to save your own financial future, or if I see that in the questionnaire, I give you a questionnaire so I can get acquainted with you, and you've left blank spaces on there, that I know that you should truly know the answers to, then I will tell you, no, I can't help you. You know, so I'm being honest with you, and I'm not taking your money. I don't like to waste money. So I don't encourage my clients to do so either. But, yeah, I welcome you to come in, and let's create financial success together, whether you're a business owner or personal. That was a tough love, but I'm really not that tough.
Sometimes, you know, tough love is what you need. And in our chat room, Tina Hobson thanks you so much for the great information. And Arlene Spann, she says thank you so much for sharing your story and giving us so much wonderful financial information. She thanks you as well in the chat room. And to, you know, for me, I thank you so much for coming on and enlightening us on so many things and waking us up. And people, This is about healing through hurt. There's nothing worse than hurting when you don't have any money in the bank. So therefore, you want to heal. Healing through hurt means that, healing across the board in every aspect of your life, heart, mind, body, spirit, soul, and financially. So we're going to be doing so much more shows, like many shows like this, in the upcoming months, because that's a part of the healing process that so many people tend to overlook. And, of course, Get With Nisha. She's here to help you. Anytime you can have someone on their team sit up here and tell you, if you have this particular problem, I'm not the one to help you. That's who you need to be aligning yourself with, because you have some people that say, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, we can make it happen. Yeah. And they don't have the credentials to help you. They don't have the knowledge to help you. So make sure that you do your homework before you go out, before you choose someone to give your hard-earned money to when you're already in financial dire straits. So again, Nisha, thank you so much for being here this evening. This has been great, and I promise I tried to keep you to an hour, but we ran over by a little bit. So,
oh, no, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate you all. I appreciate the people who've taken the time out this evening, you know, and those that have taken me, I thank you. I'm humbled, you know, that you spent this time with me and you stayed with me, you know, and hopefully, you know, we connect with me on anything, social media. I'm everywhere, LinkedIn, Instagram, yes. Financially Brilliant Woman. But I do. I love to build relationships in my community.
Yes. Yes.
The relationship is so important to me.
It is. It is. And people, some bridges should have been burned because they led you to a place you never should have been in the first place, while other bridges are meant to be built, established as strong foundations, and this would be one of them. So I sincerely hope that you take time out to digest all the information tonight, and then reach out. Reach out, because it's nothing better than sitting back in your older age and not have to worry about anything, or very little at best. And again, all of the information is in our chat rooms. I have posted all of the information. And right now, before we go, you should give us all of your contact information one more time for those people who may have just jumped in the chat room. And then we will be thanking you again and ending our session for this evening.
Okay. Really quickly, the website is financiallybrilliantwomen.com. You can contact me through email, through support, or Nisha at financiallybrilliantwomen.com. I am on Twitter under Nisha Jackson. I am on Instagram under Financially Brilliant Women. I have a fan page on Facebook under Financially Brilliant Women's Institute. I am on Facebook under my personal name, Nisha Jackson. You can still come and friend me there. And like I said, it's a relationship that I would like to build with my community. We exchange knowledge, and we are very authentic. You know, you have to want to, you know, have that authenticity about yourself and want to not, you know, I hid behind. There are people that I deal with that have hid behind out of shame for whatever issue they were going through. But please know that you're not alone. And this is why we've written
right.
Excellence in the Palm book. And you can get that at Financially Brilliant Women /Pebbles. It's $19.95. I ship to you free. I will sign it for you. But there are a lot of people out there just like you. I am a lot like you. I have gone through the trials and the tribulations. And I continue, but I always know that there's going to be a fantastic outcome. I am going to be victorious. So I encourage you to change your mindset to that if it's not already there. And, you know, let forgiveness be your catalyst and faith be what you hold on to.
Yes, yes. And forgiveness, people. It all starts with forgiveness, because you can't be successful in anything if you're holding on to too many bad things, if you're holding on to all of those bad emotions and all of those bad demons and ghosts of your past. So, again, we've come full circle this evening. We've brought you through that journey. So, you know, you're not alone. Trust me, you are so not alone. And I've been on that road where I felt like no one understood in this world either. Until actually, you know, even doing this, healing through hurt, this has opened up my eyes to so many things. And just to sit back and see how many people have similar stories, but they still think that they're in it all by themselves, it still amazes me. But thank you again for being here. It's been a blessing. I've enjoyed it, and I hope all of our listeners have. And, of course, for those of you that have popped in late, give us about a minute or two after the show ends. You will be able to hear the replay of it in its entirety. And feel free to share this show. Share it among your friends on all your social media sites. Click the share button. There's a drop-down menu if you're watching us online. Share. You can also share from the events page on Facebook. Share the knowledge. Knowledge is only powerful when it's put to good use. So we need you to help get the word out so that Nisha can help as many people as she can. So with that said, again, thank everyone for being here. Nisha, thank you so much for being here. It has been my honor and a pleasure. And we'll have to have you back to do this again soon. To keep us enlightened and abreast of what's going on in the world of finances. So thank you again for being here. You have a blessed evening. You're in California, so you still can enjoy part of your day.
Yes, yes.
It's almost 11 o'clock here, so I might venture out to the Walmart or something that's 24 hours just to get out of the house. But thank you so much again. It's been my pleasure. And I, of course, will keep in touch. And I will be passing this along to some people who, especially those who are just starting out trying to get their new businesses together in this economy, because they definitely, I can't teach them everything, so here you are. And I will be sending them your way. So thank you again. You have a great evening. Enjoy the rest of your wonderful, probably sunny day over there.
Yes, it is. It is. I hate to say it is, but I'd like to thank you and leave you with this, or the listeners with this, that pride will keep you broke and depressed.
Yes.
So don't be too proud to share, to, you know, let people know that you need help.
Yes, that pride is a killer. Pride is definitely a killer, people. And there's no shame in seeking the help. The shame comes when you don't seek the help. And before you go all in, Span says forgiveness is so important. That is so right. So right. Thank you again to Tina Hobson and Arlene Span for your support, of course, and joining in tonight on our discussion. And thank you so much to all of the people in the chat room and, of course, in the call query. I know that you're there because I can see you. So, again, thank you for listening and sticking it out with us for our show this evening. I hope you got something out of it. And reach out. There's no shame. And trust me, once your world comes together financially and you've also healed from the inside, wow, what a wonderful feeling that's going to be. So, again, thank you. Enjoy your day, Nisha. Have a great remainder of your Saturday. And be blessed. Be blessed. Thank you so much for being
here. Absolutely. Bless you as well, Maria. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you all for being here with us tonight. I will be back tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. for the Sunday Morning Inspiration. I am continuing with the Greatness in You series. Tomorrow will be the Mouthy Messengers, so don't miss that. And if you do, you can always hear the replay. So again, as always, I am your host, C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Mediated Shiro at Your Ground Zero. Pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough of that California sunshine to make your gardens grow beautifully. I pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. I'm so excited tonight. I'm getting my own speech all screwed up. But I also pray you enough smiles to turn the frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. And as always, before I go, I know that Sister Tina and I usually do this together, but as always, remember to continue to pay it and pray it forward. So until next time, be well, be blessed. I'll be back here again next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where my special guest will be number one author. You probably heard her book. She's the author of The Empowered Healer. Susan Allison will be here with me next week. We'll be talking about her brand new book as well. So until then, be well, be blessed. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. for our Sunday morning inspiration. And as always, if you'd like to reach us, our number is 202-618-2556. You can also write to us at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. If you'd like to send me a private message, two ways, mariawall@thewallfoundationinc.org or healingwithmaria@yahoo.com. If you don't want your email to get lost in all of our corporate correspondences, and if you'd like to write to us, Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, zip code 21133. Both Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio and the Sunday Morning Inspiration are sponsored by The Wall Foundation Incorporated, which is an IRS-approved and recognized 501c3 nonprofit. We are here for you. We want to thank you for everything, all of your prayers, all of your support. Thank you so much to those of you in the chat room. Yes, Sister Arlene, that's right. Pay it and pray it forward. Amen to that. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a wonderful, wonderful program. Get right financially. Get right financially. And if you didn't take anything tonight, little steps, little steps. Next time you go to the store, try getting the store brand of a product opposed to the name brand. Try it with several items. See how much money you can save. See how much money you can save. You will be amazed. And try turning off some appliances and unplugging appliances. If you didn't know it, having appliances plugged in uses electricity even when they're turned off. So you can unplug things that are not in use. You will see a difference in doing these small things alone in your prices, in your electric bills. Try these simple things. Trust me, when I lost everything, I had to rearrange my entire life, and it works. It really does work. Nisha gave us some great information. Come back. Listen to this show again. Get all of the information that you need. And, of course, reach out to her if you're ready, especially if you're looking into starting your new business in this economy. You really do need all of the proper guidance. You really do. You really do. Trust me when I say. So until next time, be well, be blessed. And we're going to end the show with, of course, Ms. Tori Lee and her good music. Again, it's been a great night. You all have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your evening. And let's just end it on a positive, upbeat note. So here we are with Tori Lee's good music. Have a great night. Have a God-awesome night. And I will see each and every one of you, of course, on Facebook. And I will see you around and right back here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Sunday Morning Inspiration. I'm C. Maria Wall. thanking each and every one of you for all of your support. I can't say it enough. And your continued prayers. I will see you soon.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music gets sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with her fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer's day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye. In my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I'd give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music.